Well, like,
You did your show preparation, huh?
I did, not at all.
That's good.
It's
So,
okay, I got it.
yeah,
I'm good.
you're good
I'm
now.
good. 2 seconds is all I
Are
need.
you ready to start the show?
I guess.
Yeah, because I started recording in the middle of that conversation because it was embarrassing to you and
Oh,
not me.
good. Oh, good.
Yeah,
Thanks.
it's okay. Then I'll go at the beginning of the show before the actual show starts. You know how we have like that little like intro between
Right.
when we talk?
Right, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, so
So,
anyway.
what did we title this
So,
one?
you wrote the outline,
Speak
so.
easy, speak free.
Speakeasy, because it was Mardi Gras
I
not
get.
long ago
I guess.
on my birthday.
Yeah. I guess
That
that's what it was. So, do you want to
was like
change
2 weeks
that
ago. No, I don't care. What's
name?
wrong with that?
I don't know.
Speakeasy, speak free sounds fine to me.
Okay. That's what happened. All right. So, that's a minute of wastefulness.
It's okay.
So
I
this
get
is
it.
yeah. It's okay. All right. So this is the fourth. I gotta start with the
That's what
Yeah.
you do. That's what you do.
That's what I do. That's my
I
style. That's my
guess.
radio
Makes you
style.
kind of sound like, I don't know, like you don't know what you're talking about though, when you
You
say,
just said a
Yeah.
bunch as well.
Well, I did that because I wasn't sure if I should actually say that
Thanks.
to your face.
You're fired. You're done. This show's a one-man show
I'm
now.
taking my microphone with me. All right, so we should probably talk about this show. Until you made it like part of the.
Yeah, that's why I was like,
It's fine. That's what it is. We've committed.
we can call the trilogy.
No, because there's going to be more after this. So, it's fine. Anyway, so
Okay.
what have you been up to? So, what have you been up to, Nick?
What have I been up to? Let's see, it's been what, 2 weeks? Jeez, a lot, actually. We've been kind of busy the past couple weeks.
Yeah, we have. I'm
But
not sure what we've been doing, but I know we've been busy.
we have been busy, but I think it's mostly been like kid stuff.
Always.
We did finish up Breaking Bad.
We did finish Breaking Bad.
That was wow.
And it was my birthday. It
It was your
was
birthday.
cool.
Was your birthday when we finished Breaking Bad, wasn't it?
Not that same day.
Oh, I thought it was. Maybe it was a couple days
I
later.
don't remember.
Yeah, sorry.
I just remember cake.
Cake. I
That was
did
a
get you.
pretty good cake.
That was a pretty good cake, wasn't it? So how old are you now? 29?
Great, thanks.
Yeah.
That
That
was a lie.
was a lie.
You didn't mean to say that.
She's 20. She's
Yes.
20 years old.
21. I
21.
can drink.
With a 3-year-old and a 10-month-old.
It happens.
That happens. You had a wild 18-year-old. 18. You're 18 of your life. Actually, you would have been like 17, technically. Yeah.
I'm 29. We haven't been doing anything
No, we
interesting.
never have. Well, let's talk a little bit about the ending of Breaking Bad before we.
Yeah, no, I felt a little unsatisfied by that ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but I guess I was too attached to the characters. that was sort of the point.
But was that the whole reason why? I mean, are we going to jump into spoiler territory?
Oh, no, yeah, no, we should probably not touch that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, everybody's seen it right now. Who cares, right?
I mean, as long as we just warn them that there's spoilers.
I think, oh, goodness, guys, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Like, that's really stupid. I said Breaking Bad. If you didn't want to know, then stop listening.
Boy. Excellent point. So you were unsatisfied with what exactly?
It just felt, I didn't feel like I had closure, and that sounds, like, that sounds really, silly, I guess, but.
Like, closure on what exactly?
I don't know, I guess I just wanted to know what happened even more.
Yeah.
I felt like there was more story to be told, but I guess there wasn't really.
As I've explained,
No, logically that makes sense, but it just didn't feel that way.
Well, I told you, it's very much Scarface. There's that whole scene where they're in the hotel right before Walt goes crazy, pretty much, with him and Skyler, and it looks like a scene straight out of Scarface, like the lighting and everything.
Or like all the money.
Yeah, and all the money.
Yeah.
And I mean,
I know, it was gonna boom, like bust at some point.
Yeah.
It had the boom, then it was gonna bust.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much it, though. I think that was the whole thing they were trying to get
they
at.
They shouldn't have made their
it...
characters so interesting, then. They should have left their characters a little bit more out of flat, then I guess you wouldn't have cared so much.
Yeah,
but that's why I feel so unfulfilled, because I cared so much. You know what I mean? You should have just let them be blasé characters and then I wouldn't care. Like, yeah, they went on and they died or whatever.
Well, I mean,
who cares?
Jesse
but, like,
went on the race cars. He was in
the race.
He
was racing. Right. It's, yeah.
It's the direct sequel to Breaking Bad, Need for Speed.
It
picks
actually,
up right after
yeah,
the event.
Yeah, I was going to say, it actually makes perfect sense.
It picks up right after Jesse is a slave for the Nazis, making meth. Yeah.
Race car driver.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of fits.
It does.
It's cool.
Yeah.
So
that's the ending
cool.
of Breaking Bad. You have to watch Need for Speed.
Oh, now. I got married. I got married in Skyrim.
You got married? Like, we did, I guess.
No, Skyrim.
Oh.
Much more handsome fellow.
Oh, thanks.
No, he was just terrible. He's like some warrior guy.
Why
like
did you marry him?
I don't know. I pulled up a list online of available people to marry with the least amount of effort. Like they all required you to do some task for them. Like some of them, like I had to complete like whole quest lines. Other wanted me to do like you know other crap. But this one, like all I had to do was beat him in a fist fight. So I was like, yeah, that's my guy. Go kick his ass. Be my wife, fool.
Be my husband.
I'll be your wife, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You be my husband, I'd be your wife.
Yeah.
It worked. He was rather interested after that. And we had a wedding. Me and my battle gear.
Same character who adopted a kid.
Two kids. I have two kids now. I got it. I found a girl.
So you're leaving the guy, the drunk kid, or
Lydia's there, and Sven is the one hanging out with me now. Some other guy I picked up. See, I thought I could marry him. Like,
yeah.
I found out that Lydia was attracted to me at one point. I was like, that's lame. We're both women. But wait, if my companion is attracted to me, if I get a dude companion, will he then be attracted to me? And no, that didn't work, so that's why Sven is following me now.
And now Lydia's your nanny?
Of sorts. She's a house car, okay?
Yeah.
She owes me her life.
Pretty much
her
Lydia does, too, and she just hangs out at house.
Like hide and seek with
Aurora?
Whatever. I don't know the girl's name. I bought her a dress. She's okay.
She's okay.
I gave her the wooden sword. Aurora got the dwarven dagger. She gets the wooden
You're
sword.
You're not playing favorites.
And the doll. But Aurora was first.
Reminds me of The Sims. My brother and I made this one family in The Sims where the one where the father would be mean to the one kid, and then nice to the other, and the mother would be mean to the kid that the father was nice to, and nice to the other kid.
See, I never got that deep into The Sims. Usually what would happen would be, I'd create the neighborhood and the house, and then I'd, like, make the family, and I'd, like, make them have a whole lot of money, and I'd build a super awesome house, super detailed. I'd, like, download all this cool crap for the house. And then I've, put the family in and all that kind of stuff. And then, like, I would just make sure that disaster struck. struck every single home that I had killed. So, like, you know, sometimes it would be, like, you know, kids drowned in the pool. Other times it would be, you know, a fire.
Oh, The Sims was easy to make them drown because you just had to get them to go swimming and then take the ladder away and then, like, oh, no, I want to get out!
You could do the same thing, like, with the fires, like, just make sure there were no sprinklers.
Remove the door.
I mean, really, the fun part of The Sims for me was, like, building the houses. Like, the actual
architecture. I'm surprised you just went right with, like, buying a house in Skyrim instead of building.
Oh, I'll build a house eventually.
I had Lydia decorate the house for me because I was lazy and Mike and
Skyrim's not that kind of a game.
Right.
Like, it would be fun if Skyrim.
But I mean, all those decorations in my house that I have, the bookshelves and all that kind of stuff, were all built by Lydia.
Yeah, that's cool. Like,
well, they were bought.
Yeah, good. I want somebody else. I'm not talking to them. Kind of dragon. Sorry, this isn't let's decorate my house, right? This is kill dragon.
This isn't decorate the house day.
I mean, well, that's not the kind of game it is.
Yeah.
That's why it's cool in The Sims. There's no, like, you know, impending dragon attacks.
Yeah, that's okay. Every once in a while, I'll fast travel to my house in Skyrim and there'll be a giant trying to kill my chickens. Or bandits trying to steal my cow.
You should get a better home security system.
Lydia is there. She should be able to handle it.
She's not really that good with.
And I have a bard. He sings in my home all the time.
Oh, wait. Where'd you get a bard?
Oh, because I told Lydia to hire me one.
Oh, nice.
She was like, what kind of entertainment do you want here? Do you want a chef? Or somebody else, and I was like, give me a bard. I don't want a chef.
Oh, yeah, a chef would be cool, because you could probably get, like, bonuses.
I don't remember if it was a chef or not. I don't remember. I know there was a bard. There was choices.
There were choices, and one was bard, and that's the one I chose.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, oh gosh, we went way off topic on that.
Well, no, that was our week.
That was our week. Well, we also watched Blackfish, which we'll talk about a little bit.
Yeah.
So, for those who don't know what Blackfish is, it's a documentary.
Yeah.
It came out last year, I think, 2013 or 2012.
I thought it was 12.
Yeah, it's probably 2012. It reached probably a peak of interest in 2013.
Yeah, I don't remember. It was maybe a dick month.
Well, I know it went viral, last year.
Yeah.
So, I don't remember exactly, but it was probably filmed in 2012, at least in 2013, because I think there was a legal battle between SeaWorld and them.
Okay.
Yes. Well, essentially,
makes sense.
Yeah, well... Essentially, Blackfish is a documentary about SeaWorld in particular. The focus is on SeaWorld, but it is mostly about killer whales in captivity and the practices that kind of has on them, as well as the people who live and train them for them.
Yeah, the trainers were, so probably the most interesting aspect of the whole documentary was what it was like to be a trainer.
Yeah, well, and that was I think a lot of people. When I heard people talking about it, it was always about how they treat the animals and that kind of stuff.
Oh, but that's no surprise.
Yeah, but that was no surprise.
I mean, as crappy as that is to say, if the animal is in, a theme park in essentially a big aquarium fish tin, how do you think they're going to act?
Yeah, that's pretty wild. When you put an aquarium, you say aquarium is a big fish tin.
These animals are monstrous. They need thousands upon thousands upon thousands of gallons of sea.
Yeah. But, so that really wasn't surprising. The Titan Quarters, the harsh treatment. That didn't really sound like the whales were treated that poorly by the trainers themselves.
Well, no, but I mean, poorly, though. They provide for them as much as they can as a human being in that environment.
Yeah.
money they had to pay for extra expertise.
Yeah, well, and but that was what was interesting was the fact that then these trainers got really attached to these animals. Mm-hmm. And throughout the entire documentary, it's really kind of funny. You hear them say things like, it's not the animal's fault. Like, they never blame, the trainers never blame the whales, right? If you, I don't really remember them ever blaming the whales.
The trainers themselves?
Yeah.
Well, no, I think they would,
but I think they also said that the whale, like, if they're talking singular about two of them.
Right.
Like a 16-ton whale.
Yeah, a big, huge one.
Yeah.
The one who, by the way, the vast majority of orca in captivity are his progeny.
They were saying that he wasn't necessarily violent to begin with, that he just kind of became that But it was funny too because they said it was treatment from the other whales because they were talking about the fact that the whales all come from like different families and
yeah,
all have
parts.
Like different dialects.
But not only do they have different dialects, but they were far superior in like emotional, quote unquote, like intelligence.
Yeah.
They were far superior to human beings, and they're like they had different.
Yeah.
One of the researchers I think referred to them as nations. They were taking, you know, whales of different nations and putting them together. On top of the fact that Tillicum was in the tank with a lot of females, and females become very territorial because of the
and
way
dominant.
The pods work. Well, because of the way the pods work and the fact that, you know, the children stay with them for life, pretty much. I mean, that's their family.
Yeah, that was
those
another
pods
thing.
Are,
that's
yeah, they would take their babies.
And listen to them cry, and then just giving them a different baby, though. It was like they took the baby from them,
right.
Gave it to a different mother. Like it was just like, let's see what happens. All
well, it wasn't even that. It
they
was
were
because they were trying. Yeah, they were trying to. Well, yeah,
family.
And money too. I mean, they were business moves. Those
yeah.
moves were business moves. They
yeah.
weren't like
yeah.
you know just experiments. But yeah, I mean the trainers and like anybody who was in the area said that the whales made sounds they had never even heard before. When they took their babies from them. Like, I don't think a single person involved in those acts, like, felt nothing but, like, intense remorse. Like, this old man was about to cry. Like, this old, like, rough and tumble biker-looking, like, you know,
old, like,
scruffy
like,
man.
Like, the guy
you
would think
hard.
Would be, like, Captain Ahab.
Yeah, right. And, like, about to, like, burst out in tears talking about, like, capturing and taking these babies from the mother.
I think the most shocking thing about, I mean, that was pretty shocking, the fact that they did that, but I think the thing that really surprised me about the documentary was the way that SeaWorld then treats trainers who have an incident with the whale, or as
right.
SeaWorld calls it, an
incident. Yeah, accidents.
Yeah.
You mean when they're torn to shreds or drowned by their whales?
Yeah.
The ones that they're training.
Yeah. They then, SeaWorld then releases statements to the news that it was the trainer's fault.
Right.
And then totally ignores, like, whale temperament or anything like that.
Right.
Like, you were talking about the one, I guess they consider this the most famous case because it's the most current. That lady, Dawn.
Right.
The head trainer in
right.
SeaWorld Orlando.
Right.
Who...
Well, then she was very, like,
close,
you know,
with
highly technical and,
right, right.
like,
always.
Newer stuff. She was the senior trainer.
Right. And
they, yeah.
And the trainers were talking about that incident where she gave him a trick to do, and he
right.
did it.
Right.
And then they blow, like, a whistle, and, like, certain intervals tell them it's time to stop
right.
and time to come back and whatever.
Right.
And he didn't hear it.
Right.
Now, they were very important on saying he didn't hear it.
Right.
And so...
Well, yeah, because there was miscommunication at that point.
Right. And he then kept doing the trick, so that when he then stopped after hearing the whistle the second time,
right.
they did what they're supposed to do, because Dawn's a by-the-book type trainer.
Right.
She ignores his request for a reward fish
right.
when he was already running low. And then she does, like, they call it, like, a relaxation session.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where, like, they go in and swim
well,
cause with
the whales.
Well,
because they have, well, yeah, because they have different shows. There's,
right.
like, the one where they're, you know, with the whales together with the trainer in the water and they're doing stuff. And then there's the one, you know, where the whale's by himself doing his own stuff. And then there was ones where they were, you know,
yeah.
more interactive.
And this was a nighttime session. And those seemed
right.
to be the more interactive of the
right.
for whatever reason. I guess because it was popular timing
whatever.
And that kind of stuff.
Who knows?
But she essentially then got in, and he was frustrated.
Right.
Because he didn't get his reward, and he was hungry.
Right. Well, I mean, because not necessarily even hungry, but because he works at, like, it's like chaining a dog. Like, mm-hmm. when you chain a dog, and you don't have any more snacks, but they keep doing tricks.
Yeah.
They're kind of like, what gives? Where's the snacks?
Right.
You know what I mean? But then, like, put in the mix all of these other things, and this animal's just bound to snap. Yeah. Like, I don't understand
what
why this is
the,
like...
That was the, what was it, the third person he had killed?
So,
that
but,
they knew about?
But he's so valuable. That was the thing that
they
said.
They were talking about
the
fact that SeaWorld's really monetarily based on, like, worms? Whale sperm.
Well, yeah, because they can't just... Because they're not allowed to go capture those whales anymore.
Right.
And people aren't really willing to, you know, partake in those kinds of activities. This isn't the 80s anymore. You can't go do that anymore. So they have to make, you know, they have to breed the whales themselves. That's their only attraction.
Yeah.
And he keeps siring whales. So, yeah, it sure as heck isn't his fault.
Yeah.
You know?
But, and I think, you know... I think it's funny just the way that SeaWorld has always kind of spun this and used the media to, like, keep people, like,
well, but they
ignoring.
Lost the case now.
Oh, yeah, they've lost it now.
Yeah,
like,
no.
That secret's out.
Yeah.
Like, Blackfish has totally pretty much ruined that.
Yeah.
I mean, people are still going because they're idiots
well,
who, like, go,
SeaWorld.
Like, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's SeaWorld. You signed up for the job. Now you know what it's like, so that's your risk.
Well... I mean, but the sad thing is, those people really didn't know the risk. And
not when they got involved.
Yeah,
no.
Even as trainers, those people didn't even know anything about training whales.
But now can you feel bad for anybody? Like, now if, like, somebody comes out, like, like next month something happens,
right?
And then everybody's going to sit there and try and, like, you know, the trainers there are going to try and do something like this where they talk about it.
Right.
People are going to be like, you guys watch Blackfish, right?
I mean,
you know what I mean? Does SeaWorld own you to the point where you, like, they tell you what you can and can't watch?
Well, no, but not everybody.
But that's what I mean. People aren't
going
to sit there and listen to them now. They're going to be like, well, they said the same thing in Blackfish, and you guys still took the job.
I mean, yeah, but just because there's that one movie, I don't think then makes
but,
it so that.
Well, no, but it doesn't. But it makes it easier for SeaWorld now.
I mean, I guess.
And there are people in
that's...
America who are going to sit there and go, well, that's the risk that you took when you signed up for the job.
But that's kind of how they've always treated it.
Yeah.
I don't think the movies sort of changed people's sort of perception about
I don't think
people.
I don't think it really changed people's
jobs.
Perception about SeaWorld much at all.
No,
I think it hurt
not.
Them a little bit because people.
The only reason it hurt them is because of the way it affected their shows, and they can't do their shows
the
same
way.
And
that's
used
kind of
to.
Affected attendance too.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
You got a
whale
jumping up
and bowing. Yeah, they have to have a whole barrier.
Bowing.
Right. They have to have a barrier now between them and the whale at all
and
times.
And it also costs them a lot of money from that OSHA court case.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
But I mean, well.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah, how many people died?
Yeah, I know.
In your employ, like
yeah. I mean, there was and not only that, but the trainers that in the movie were like farmhands, like people who had like some animal
experience. That's
what I mean.
These people had
like
no experience.
That.
Yeah, no, they didn't know. They
like,
had no
like
idea.
Like the one guy was like, yeah, I rode horses with people. I did trail rides.
Right.
Like,
well, but that's because they were animal trainers.
Right.
Like they weren't. They weren't really
like,
whale trainers.
They weren't biologists,
they were,
like marine biologists.
No,
they were like,
but that's not what they needed them for. That wasn't the task that they performed.
No,
they trained whales.
Yeah, their task was to make whales do tricks
right.
and make people applaud and be happy and
right.
then give them money.
And that sounds really absurd when you think of it that way because, you know, you think of animal trainers and you think of people who, you know, train animals, but God, people
like that guy.
Let's go, let's go train some tigers.
Like the
who,
dog whisperer.
But the dog whisperer is tame. Like, fine, cool. You want to go screw around like with some dogs. That's great. But like these people like, yeah, let's go train some whales. Like, who thought that was like the best idea?
But a lot of them in the documentary, like the initial interview, were like, I went to SeaWorld and I was just like, that's what I want to do. It was. Like,
I mean, I thought that too when I was like five, but like, and then
when I was five, I thought I was gonna be like a superhero. All right,
that's what I mean. I mean, well, don't get me wrong, because like it's really cool. Like, if I wasn't afraid of the inherent danger of swimming with a killer whale, then I probably would love to be a trainer.
And a lot of the trainers in the movie didn't really express any kind of concern in terms of, like, regretting doing the work.
Yeah, no.
They mostly just expressed their, like, disdain for the way SeaWorld had handled a lot of the situations.
And I mean, and I think what happens is these people get into a job, they really love their job, and what ends up happening is they see these animals in a poor condition and want to take care of them. Like, it's funny, because, like, this is, like, not even quite the same vein, but, like, I worked at a pet store a long time ago, right? And this pet store, like, treated all of their animals like filth. And nobody wanted to take care of the reptiles, but I have a thing. I love reptiles and snakes and all this stuff, right? So I take care of these animals. I'm the only one in the store who'll take care of them because nobody else wants to touch them, right? So, like, some of these animals are getting sick, they're dying, they're not taking care of them correctly. So, like, you know, I feel compelled to take care of these animals because nobody else is there and nobody else cares. And then, like, you know, days later, you know, I'll find that some of my animals are just, like, thrown out. They just throw these things out like they're nothing. So I feel like it's sort of
I'm glad you said that because there is, I have a feeling, you know, with a company, especially when you're dealing with a company like SeaWorld, that their vetting process is probably aligned to find people with your kind of, like, personality.
Right.
Where it's, like, they know that they leave these whales with just this handful of trainers.
Right.
And so that these people then start feeling like this is their responsibility.
Right,
like, they have to be here for the whales. They don't even care about how much money they're making.
Well, and that's what that guy said. That one guy even said himself. He said he would have left, but the only reason he didn't leave is because he knew he was the only person taking care of that whale.
Right.
That's the only reason he didn't leave.
Right. But they all feel like that, and it's funny because they all work together.
Right.
And it's like, so it's weird. They must, like, their shifts must be so segregated from each other, like, to the point where, like, you never really ever
you
see any.
You probably don't, because they're so few.
And because these whales are already kind of, like,
in,
like, the poor condition that they're in, it makes it real. Wow, I didn't even think of that. That was a good point to make there.
It almost sounded like a whale was pretty much paired with almost just one person.
They made it sound like, but there was.
I know there's more, but
yeah,
it's sort of.
They only ever mentioned like having like two or three whales at each location,
right.
So that's not the case
right.
Because there's no way that you can have there's no employee regulations that will allow you to work your employees seven days straight.
But it sounded like there were, like, you know, maybe the nighttime sort of crew.
They said there was, like, a night trainer. And they always said there was only one night trainer.
That's what I mean.
And nobody
nobody
in any of those crews were night trainers.
Right. There's only, like, two or three, it sounds like, people really per whale.
Right.
You know, almost one
except
per
for at
shift.
Night, where there's, like, a night guy who just kind of is there to make sure nothing bad happens.
Right. Which I don't think they're, like, interacting with
that.
The
they didn't make
like
it sound like they were.
I mean, I'm sure some people did.
I would have been.
You know what I mean?
In there,
like,
too. But yeah, it was. There's a lot of stuff that happened.
Weird stuff. Or like the weird. They said like some drunk guy just wandered into a tank and died. Like,
right. I have a feeling that was probably the night trainer's friend. Who then he was just like, oh, I don't know who this guy is.
I mean,
because I mean, think about it. You're at SeaWorld, right? you work at SeaWorld. You're like pretty much. It's you and probably, like, one, like, security, like, couple security guards, like, on the premises, like, all night.
Well, see,
maybe
probably
like,
pretty big.
Maybe,
there's
like,
probably
maybe
a
like
few
a
people.
Maybe, like, a janitorial crew
right.
who's going around, like, cleaning up stuff. But for
right.
the most part, it's just you and the whales.
Right.
I mean, I have had friends that when they worked, like, night, like, they, like, my friend Harrison worked at, like, the church.
Right.
In, like, the office, like, at night for them.
Right.
Like, just pretty much answering phone calls and doing, like, little odds and end things that couldn't get done during the day by the secretary.
Right.
And he did have a friend up there.
Right,
they would just be
right.
like, yeah, that's cool, just as long as you know you're... So,
gosh,
I mean,
do you think... No, I don't know. My goodness, that would be terrible.
How did nobody know, though?
Somebody
how did you
knew.
Get in and nobody knew?
How do you, one, get in, and then, two, wander your way to the whale tank?
Without anybody knowing.
But, and then die, too. Because, because these whales weren't just, like, killing people willing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here and, you know, like, they weren't just
yeah.
attacking people...
Yeah.
For no reason.
Right, there was frustration in, like, almost every attack, it sounded like.
So, I mean, I don't know. That was just a very... That whole movie was very strange. Such a very strange industry.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all sort of, like, to be expected. But, like you said, some of the more interesting points were, like, who those trainers really were, how they were really treated, and, like,
yeah.
exactly, like, what length SeaWorld would go to... to make sure that they maintain their profits.
Yeah.
Is essentially what it was, like, through any means.
Well, that's kind of the way business is in general.
Well, yeah.
But, yeah, so anyway, that was Blackfish. Woo.
Yeah,
We spent a good time on that.
It's okay.
This week, I've also been playing Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, got Dark Souls 2 finally.
Yeah, got the big old collector's edition.
Yeah, the really cool collector's edition.
Yeah,
I like the statue.
You like the statue?
Figurine.
Yeah, it's a statue. We'll call it a statue. It sounds better.
Yeah, it does sound better. But I think it's...
It's not a toy, it's an action figure!
Yeah. No, I think it's a figure... It's not a figurine, it seems to, It's too big.
Yeah,
but,
not, and it doesn't move.
So maybe call it a model.
A model. Sounds good.
Whatever. Statuette.
So, I did just tonight of recording, write a blog about, not necessarily about this, but about, like, the whole Souls kind of series, I guess is what you would call it if you consider Demon Souls and Dark Souls and
right.
Dark Souls 2 all part of the same series, which they are. You know, I find people that Dark Souls 2 has come out, and then I find a lot of people online going, I just picked up Dark Souls today. And, like, not like Dark Souls 2, like the original Dark Souls. And it's like, why are you guys buying this? But then it's also, like, the cool thing about Dark Souls is when I played Dark Souls, the first time I played Dark Souls, I had heard about Demon Souls and was like, yeah, that sounds ridiculously brutal. I want no part of this, like, whatsoever. And, you know, time went around and I kept hearing people talking about Demon Souls, and then Dark Souls came out and I heard people talking about Dark Souls. So I finally was like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to buy it. I'll buy it used. If I don't like it, I can take it back 7 days later to GameStop and just... You know,
I remember when you got that.
And just be done with it. And it wasn't necessarily because I didn't want to support From Software. It was mostly because I wasn't sure how I was going to like it. Because
yeah.
I heard that it was brutal.
Yeah. And it was.
It was. The whole game. The first character I created. Yeah, he didn't do too well. He got to the Capra Demon and I kept dying over and over again. And I just gave up.
Wait, what do you mean? When do you not die over and over again?
Well, the last character I created, Kyle dies. He actually didn't die for quite some time.
Yeah.
Actually, he got all the way up to, oh no, he got to the Capra Demon and died. But that's because he was, that's because he was a sorcerer, and he was a straight sorcerer, so
yeah.
All intelligence build, no dex, I didn't do anything. Like, my first, like, whatever amount of levels I needed to get my intelligence up to 50 is what I
spent.
Right,
yeah, yeah.
So, Kyle dies.
Sort of an experiment.
Kyle dies was, well, it pretty much broke Dark Souls. Once I finally got a new catalyst, it was, like, over for every, like, spell. Because I was just doing more damage than, like, even normal enemies were like, you know what, even bosses were like, we're give up. Like, I was, like, I hit the Moonlight Butterfly, like, 3 times with a spell.
What?
And that was dead.
Oh,
like,
that's
cool. I quit.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
What was there had to have been a downfall.
There hasn't really been a downfall. Well, the only downfall so far has been that when it comes to actually getting hit now,
yeah.
I'm a little squishy because
yeah.
Now I'm getting into, like, the end game type of content.
Yeah.
Like, I've already beaten 2 of the 4 souls that you need in that one to get the Gwyn. And so, yeah, Kyle dies. It's starting to get a little squishy against some of those harder hitting enemies. But anyway, this is about Dark Souls 2. So, we got off track.
Well, as I said, it's leading up to
Dark
Souls 2.
So, you know, that's what I was playing kind of the past couple weeks before Dark Souls 2 had come out. And so then I started Dark Souls.
It's only been a week.
Yeah, and I started Dark Souls 2, and it's not necessarily... People had a big fear that it was going to be easier than Dark Souls was, which people said Dark Souls was easier than Demon Souls. And I'm going to explain how this all works in terms of making it easier for you each time. And I'll use Kyle Dies again as an example of that. So Dark Souls 2 is, in a lot of ways, more difficult than the original Dark Souls. And it feels more like a true sequel to Demon Souls than even Dark Souls did.
Yeah.
They brought back the mechanic where as you die repeatedly, you lose hit points permanently until you restore your humanity.
Oh, okay.
So that was kind of nice. They also brought back the more hub world focus that they had in Demon Souls over Dark Souls. Because in Dark Souls, once you went out like, away from the Firelink altar, which was, you know, for the most part, Firelink Shrine was your hub. It led to every single pretty much major zone. But you didn't, once you were out into those zones, there was no reason to come back, because everything was already out in those zones.
Right.
So Dark Souls 2 has a place called Majula, and they kind of force you to come back when you need to level up, buy new equipment and stuff, because all the merchants are there. So in many ways, that's kind of nice to see that kind of return to like that, just because it gives you a nice kind of like chance to like wander around and do things. It gives you a little bit of a breathing rest, pretty much, because you don't have to worry about any enemies during that time. Or
it also probably sounds like it makes the world sort of feel a little bit more rounded, I guess.
Because I have noticed, there's a thing in video games that I have noticed, is like Dark Souls and Skyrim. I'll use Skyrim as an example, too, where the world is literally flat.
Right.
Like, we live in a round world, but the world that you inhabit in those games is flat.
Right.
As in, there's only a certain limit to where you can go before you end up...
At the edge.
At the edge, and the game's telling you to go back.
Right.
So, in many ways, no, the world is not round.
Yeah.
Not like World of Warcraft or something like that, where you can literally go to every continent. I'm pretty sure...
But even that still feels very... flat, because it is there's edges, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really...
Yeah, but you...
But I meant more, not physically round, I just meant well-rounded, as in, like, you have to sort of...
Well, yeah, it kind of keeps you, and it keeps you focused, but the problem, too, is that it kind of... Where Demon's Souls did that hub world really well, because then you could, like, then go to, like, it had, like, four or five different, like, places on like the stairs that you could then go to those worlds, so that way you could kind of see where your progress had was for each one. Dark Souls 2 doesn't do that.
Oh.
So you kind of like go back, and then it's like, okay,
there's not really a reason.
Well, there's not really a, it doesn't seem like when you go to, because in Dark Souls 2 you can fast travel instantly between bonfires. But it doesn't really seem like there's any kind of rhyme or reason to the way they're... I haven't really figured it out, maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm not really paying attention to the links close enough.
Yeah.
Because that might be why I'm having trouble seeing it. Mm. But it doesn't seem like they're connected in any way. Like, in particular, like, in the fast travel area. So it's kind of hard to tell how much I've finished.
Right.
Because one zone, the Bastille has, I think, 5 bonfires.
Right.
And then another one, I've only ever found one.
Oh, wow.
And I've only ever seen one, and there doesn't seem like there's anything else there to do.
Right.
So it's very hard to see my progress.
Hmm. I keep thinking, that's what I think.
I keep feeling like I'm getting close to the end, because I've beaten 2 primordial bosses so far.
Hmm.
I guess that's what you can call them, because they lead me to a primordial bonfire when I beat them out of 4 before I can meet the king.
Huh.
So, that's what I mean. Like, it feels shortened in that aspect as well, because I don't see how much progress I have. But it makes me feel like I'm not experiencing enough. So then
you're not doing enough.
So then I go back and start exploring some more. And I guess as an intentional, like, keep coming back, it's great because in the past, when I played Demon's Souls and Dark Souls, I started, again, obviously, after the games had released and been out for a little while, so all of these communities had, like, warped their heads around all the different systems and had figured out, like, where everything was and the best way to go through this and the best way to do that. So with Dark Souls 2 being on the ground floor, it feels sometimes overwhelming. Like, I can only play for, like, a couple hours before I'm just, like... I'm missing something. I keep thinking I'm missing something, and I have to just put it down.
Oh, God.
Because it drives me nuts. Like, they keep telling me about all these, like, different types of stones that I could be finding, and I'm like, where are these stones? Is there a merchant that sells these to me?
Oh, okay. So you have a lot left to find.
Yeah. There's, like, a lot that I seem left to find.
Yeah.
Like, the one...
So that's sort of the style of that game, it seems. It's not so... It's obviously not linear.
No. It's not supposed to be. Right. You can pretty much... I mean, even Dark Souls, you could tackle Dark Souls. I mean, it has a progression.
Well, yeah, obviously, it's...
Because you can only get to certain zones, like, after you do something else.
Right,
like, you have to go through all this other stuff, and then you can unlock these zones.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, obviously, there's some progression, but...
Right. But then there's a lot of, like, this, like, extra...
Right. But on the same page, Dark Souls 2, as I said, is a lot harder than Dark Souls in the aspect that enemies... combat is different. It feels different. It feels more fluid. It feels more alive. It doesn't feel like a Skyrim kind of does with combat, where right. Skyrim kind of just feels like I swing and yeah. then I block and then I swing.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel as so technical, yeah. I guess, like in terms of like coding.
Yeah.
It feels more reactive and.
Yeah, so it's not as much of that. Mm-hmm. There's a term for that where it's like I hit you hit.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It feels more reactive. Yeah. I feel like I'm reacting more. Than the AI reacting to me,
yeah.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's good, and it does make combat more difficult. The only complaint I have though is that boss battles haven't seemed that difficult yet. I haven't really run into one that's totally stumped me and made me like throw my hands in the air. But at the same time, I haven't had any problems with summoning people.
Right.
I pretty much like I have a strategy though for this, and it's a good one, because it the game has, and I hope they change this in a future patch. You can run through a zone, if you find a ring. I won't tell anybody where to find it, but if you find a ring, you can reduce your hit point loss to 75%. You can have a max of 75% instead of 50%.
Yeah.
With a ring, if you find it when you die multiple times. So when I go through a new zone, what I do is I go through the zone without being in human form. I can be invaded at any time. That's one of the new mechanics that they added, that you can be invaded any time.
Right.
So I'm not avoiding invasions. That's not the point of this. The point is that I can go through the zone until I get to a boss door. And you don't really know that it's a boss door because it's a mist door,
right.
and you have to go through it. And so I then use a human effigy. That reverts me to human. Most people in Dark Souls games don't like to go, they like to do just straight boss runs. So they'll drop their summon sign right outside the boss gate.
Oh.
So now that I'm human and all the enemies are dead, I just sit there and wait till I see a summon sign,
right.
see two summon signs, summon, go in and fight. And I usually don't have a problem with any of the bosses.
Well, but that's because you're cheating.
And then what I also do is while I'm running to the boss gate, right, is I drop a summon sign as well.
Right.
So, and I drop summon signs every time I come back from fighting the boss. If I die or whatever, I drop a summon sign.
So you just found a little...
But here's why.
A little sneak.
Well, here's why. Here's why. When I come back from fighting a boss, if I successfully defeat that boss with that player, all of my healing, like my Estus Flask is refreshed, and my spells are refreshed.
Really?
My healing items that I use are still gone.
Right.
But if I just heal using Estus,
right.
or whenever throughout the world, instead of trying to use the life gems...
Right.
Then I never have to worry about it. As long as I'm being summoned and helping people kill bosses, I have an infinite supply of healing.
Right.
And I'm getting like these tokens of some that allow me then to heal people in their world.
Right.
So yeah, there are a couple.
Well, so there's a lot of benefits then to playing with other people.
Playing online is the way to go. I have seen two times a NPC that you could summon. Only twice.
Oh, wow.
Have I been able to summon an NPC? Every other summon has been players. So there's
and you can't really take these bosses down alone then.
Here's the thing too though, that people don't notice either. If you're having trouble taking these bosses down in co-op, it might actually be better to do it in single player because you do more damage to a boss.
Oh really?
In single player.
Why is that?
That's just the way they coded it. I've noticed that when my hit with my Dranglade sword, it does 204 damage in single player. In multiplayer, it does about 90 yeah. to 100. So they actually half the damage that you do.
Huh.
But here's the thing, though. Bosses in this game are extremely aggressive. They're, I would say, more aggressive than previous Souls games.
Yeah.
A couple of past Souls, like in Dark Souls, you had the Gaping Dragon. And he was kind of easy. You kind of just waited for him to move past you, and then he would stop.
Yeah.
And then you go and hack him, and then you run away, so he's pretty easy to be by himself. And Capra Demon was hard because he chased you around. In fact, all the bosses that chase you tend to be the more difficult in the Dark Souls games. Mm-hmm. So in Dark Souls 2, what they did was pretty much every enemy is aggressive. There aren't too many enemies that are just going to kind of like saunter around and just let you kind of whack on them without being aggressive towards you.
Right.
So when you have co-op partners, your experience becomes much easier. Because now it's, go be distracted by these guys, and this person's going to come up and hit you.
Yeah.
So it's, and then the boss AI also, I don't know how it's determined, but then it loses focus on a player. So, like, I've noticed in a lot of, like, boss battles, I'll have a companion get, like, down really low to health, right? And then for some reason or another, the boss then goes and focuses on someone else instead of finishing off that player.
Right.
So that person then goes and heals, and so it never really seems like anything is happening. So boss battles have been a bit of a letdown so far. I mean, in that aspect, it's a little bit more easy.
Yeah.
But that's also something that I'm sure, now that the game is on a dedicated server, they can kind of see player tendency and go, we got to fix this. They can patch it in later. I mean, because even in the original Dark Souls, there were quite a few exploits that people figured out on day one that they were using that even they were like, well, yeah, we're not going to let you do that no more. Like, there was one where the dragon on the bridge, the only reason I beat him with Jack in Dark Souls was because I had the Dragon Slayer bow with, like, all the arrows, where I was, like, just, like,
I think that took you, like, an hour just to...
No. Not with the Dragon Slayer bow. With the Dragon Slayer bow, it took me, like, 10 minutes of sitting there back and forth. But when I was trying to do it before with, like, a regular bow that was, like, doing 34 damage, the dragon heals himself. So that little sniping spot underneath the bridge is impossible without the Dragon Slayer bow.
Right.
And even then, I had the Dragon Slayer bow leveled up because I had all these dragon skills that I had just been accumulating that I didn't use for anything. So that's one of the things that, you know, exploits that they took out. They took out another couple exploits, too, that people were figuring out ways to, like, shoot bosses before they entered the gate so that the boss wouldn't react to them and stuff.
That's kind of cool.
It was all fair and love and war in Dark Souls. But they then go, hey, yeah, well, that's not the experience we want, so we're changing that.
Yeah.
Which is their personal right.
So,
And that's another thing. Dark Souls, it seemed like being in human form was a little bit more dangerous in terms of being invaded constantly. So when I heard that, you know, Dark Souls 2, you can be invaded whenever, I was kind of like, I'm not even going to worry about it. But I haven't really been I've never been invaded, except for that one area, the Belfry, with the crazy dwarf, where I had, like, where that one guy ganked me, pretty much.
Right.
And then he was, like, the only one who was successful against me after that.
Huh.
And that was just, like, the one guy almost got me, but I had summoned somebody who came in, like, and backstabbed him, because he came up and started attacking me. And that guy came summoned up right where I was just standing right on the guy's summon sign so that I could, like, because it doesn't tell you when people are being summoned, apparently, because the guy didn't know. Or maybe he did know, but he didn't know where I had summoned him. Right. Either way, I was just standing on that guy's summon sign knowing that as soon as he summoned, he'd turn around and pop the guy in the back. So, but, you know, PvP has been easier for me because the combat is different. It does, like I said, it feels more organic. A lot of the exploits of the past in PvP where you just kind of, like, roll out of the way or kind of gone.
Yeah.
Rolling still grants you a small sliver of invulnerability, but you got to be really more careful with the timing.
Yeah.
And certain attacks will still hit you through the roll.
Right.
So that's kind of nice as well. That it's better for PvP anyway, because it was kind of annoying when it'd be like, oh, I threw a fireball at you, and even though enemies who just kind of stand around where the fireball went and hit, got hit, would get landed and exploded, would get hurt, you're not, because you were in the middle of a roll.
Oh, yeah.
So that is kind of nice that they changed. But the reason these games get easier for people, and, you know, because everybody from Demon's Souls is like, oh my god, it's so difficult. Now let me tell you, Demon's Souls wasn't that difficult compared to Dark Souls for me.
Yeah.
Until I got to the final boss, and that guy was just cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy stole your levels.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not cool. Especially, you know, when you, like, lose a couple levels, and then all of a sudden you can't wear the armor that you were wearing.
Get through. No, I do remember
that. And at that point, you're just like, you know what, I don't care. I don't even want to beat you anymore.
Yeah.
So hopefully, unless Dark Souls 2 pulls something like that out, I won't have too many problems. But it gets easier because you know, as I've been explaining, just my strategies for Dark Souls 2.
Yeah.
It's about you learn the mechanics and you start understanding the mechanics from game to game.
Yeah.
So then by the time you get into, like, these, like, higher level places, it starts getting more difficult.
You know what to do kind of already, though.
Well, but even now, Dark Souls 2 is starting to give me a couple headaches in a couple zones. Like, this zone I just entered last night, the Iron Keep.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm gonna be angry at this place for some time. I can already tell. This is gonna be my sense fortress, I can tell. So, I'll have a more fully realized review on Dark Souls 2 later on this week on the Game Effect. But yeah, it's good. I suggest people buy it. Especially if you have any interest in the Soul series, just buy number 2, get it over with. It's easier to get into and understand.
Yeah, especially now because there's so many people playing.
Well, and that's the best thing too. You want to get on the ground floor. I mean, if you want to just go through and say I beat Dark Souls, it kind of feels cheap now when people say they beat Dark Souls, and it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel as like as gratifying when you beat it like years after it came out. Like 2 years after it came out, you can just go online and be like, what should I do, people?
Yeah.
It's not as gratifying as when I did it and was just like, oh my god.
Yeah.
But it still can be tough. Dark Souls 2, I know when I beat that, I'll probably be happy. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Anyway, wow, so we still got... Wow, we've been talking for 50 minutes already.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, I mean, should we just wrap this up and save our blockbuster...
Wait for next time?
Yeah, the blockbuster theory? Or do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I guess, no, because that's kind of a... That's sort of a big topic to just sort of...
Yeah.
Gloss over, I think.
Well, I guess we'll just leave this at the show, then.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's
cool. It was a good show.
It was a good show.
Yeah.
We sort of had a lighthearted couple of weeks.
Yeah. Oh, we got the website up.
Oh, yeah, the blog. Yeah. I meant to say something about that. Yeah, it's the Gaming Parent at... What is it?
WordPress.
WordPress, yeah. TheGamingParent.wordpress.com, okay. I think is how it is.
All right.
Or look up The Gaming Parent at WordPress. It's obviously a work in progress.
Yeah.
There's one post.
Yeah, and it's mostly just the introduction post.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
But well, as the weeks come on, we'll start posting more things on there. Maybe I think it's more like supplemental to the show.
Yeah, it's just a supplement. It's just kind of like, you know, if we're thinking of something to write about that, you know, has something to do with what all this is about, then we'll sort of write it on there.
Yeah, even if this week we were kind of off what all this was about, but it's okay.
Well, I mean, we were,
that's okay.
But, we stayed on topic.
Yeah, we did pretty good.
Yeah, we followed that outline.
Yeah, we did good.
We only got through half of the outline, however.
Hey, we did 50 minutes, though.
Yeah, no, that's fine. No, and I think we had more to talk about those things.
The blockbuster thing. Yeah, we'll move that to next week. Anyway, we're talking about show planning with people on the air.
Yes.
So thanks for listening, and
as always,
and then we need to come up with a catchphrase. So goodbye.
'This is the story of my origin, a sort of ordinary, normal, boring kid who wasn't concerned about prom king. Until I turned my tenure as an honorary member of the West Coast Avengers to a dirty South Swamp Thing. They sent me on a mission to find the stolen remnant of the central store of wisdom divine. Code of the infinite, I've been to 4 dimensions in mind. Molded with mixel blick, a mental organism designed only for killing this mic. And the second we step in from backstage, we rap like it's an action-packed splash page. Act like we're trying to cause an avalanche cascade, 'cause we'd rather turn back than attack halfway. We're paving pathways like Stan and Jack both. In fact, these rap quotes impact like Black Bolt said it. So roll credits on these Jersey Shore girls. They can break the fourth wall, we break the fourth world. Painting pictures, jumping straight from the page. And I'm the man of steel, damaging your paper mache. Whether you get the singles or you wait for the trades, the Silver Age MC stay saving the day. We take an aim at major labels for practice. We're radioactive without the radio play. And before I die, I'ma get my final...